Dan Burris, same time here on KAYT 88.1. We go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Stand on your feet, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 22, verses 19 and 20. Now, I'm subject to break out with another one any moment now, but just come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Luke 22, 19 and 20.
Luke chapter 22, verse 19. And he took bread and gave thanks, and break it, and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." All right. Verse 20. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you."
Amen. Let the church say amen. Amen. I want to speak from part two of the subject, remember me. Remember me. We dealt exclusively with verse 19 at the 7:30 service, talking about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that it represented both in our lives and in his life, and the penalty, the punishment, and all that was paid in his body for the sins committed in our body. We talked about how ordinary bread would be transformed when given a higher purpose into what is called a sacrament or element, depending on the usage that one gives it. And so with ordinary bread that was given a higher worth, value, and purpose by being called the body of Jesus, the whole idea follows what John said in chapter 6 when he said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me." Bible says that many turned and said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" And they turned and walked no more with him. Jesus was not talking about cannibalism. He was talking about the spiritual idea of when you eat the bread, it is symbolic of the body of Jesus Christ. And so when believers take part in communion or the Lord's Supper, that bread is representative of everything he endured in the body. And it is as if when we eat the bread that we are eating Jesus Christ. It is so that we are cognizant and conscious of the fact that he lives on the inside of us. And so we dealt with that first part. But I want to pick up here at verse 20 Rita, read it again slowly for us, please.
Verse 20. Likewise.
Likewise. Now, one of the things I want to add to that is the fact that at the end of verse 19, he said, this do in remembrance of me. In other words, he made clear that when you eat the bread, he said, this as a part of the communion service. I don't want you to think that the way that I want you to remember me is by wearing a big chain around your neck, showing folk you're a Christian by having a cross. I don't want you to carry a big Bible so people can see that you've got the word with you underneath your arms, but rather it would rather be chosen to be in your heart. I don't want you to go around tattooing your arms, your chest, your back, your neck with my picture on it so people can see that I am important to you. The way you remember me is by partaking in the Lord's Supper. That's one of the reasons why the enemy does not want the people of God to participate in the Lord's Supper, because out of sight, out of mind. Jesus knew that being human, we would tend to forget him if we would not keep this practice up. But every time you talked about the bread and you talk about his body and you talk about the cross and him being nailed to the cross and him being pierced at his side with a crown of thorns on his head, you can't help but think about all the sufferings he went through before he was ever nailed to the cross. And he did it in his body for the sins we committed in our body. So he said, if you really want to remember me, take communion. And when you take communion, think about me while you're taking it. I told the church, I remember as a young boy, the old folk didn't play with communion. Even those who weren't wholly committed to him, they were careful about what they did coming up to Communion Sunday. Yeah, they made sure they tried to live as best they could when it should be that way all the way. But at least that week coming up to communion, the liars didn't lie as much. Drinkers didn't drink as much. Players didn't play as much. I mean, all of the things that they did, knowing they were going to take communion, they brought it to a halt. Because they wanted to try and be right when they went there, because they understood that to eat it and to drink it unworthily would be damnation to their own soul. So likewise, this do in remembrance of me, the cup. Continue reading.
Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you.
This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Now, to understand what Jesus is talking about, again, he's referencing all of the Old Testament sacrificial systems. Everything they did as a memorial, everything they did as a sacrifice to repent and then use the blood of lambs to redeem themselves, to be at one with God, called the atonement, at one meant with him. All of those systems found themselves playing out in the fact that they were shadows of the reality of what Jesus would do in the shedding of his blood. All covenants had to be ratified with blood. They had to be fully empowered with the death of something and the blood shed of something. So this goes all the way back to Exodus chapter 24, verses 1 through 8. And there you'll see God gives Moses the commandments and tell him what to tell the people. and Moses builds an altar and he puts on it the bullock and the sacrifice, etc. And he takes the blood and he puts it in two pans. One pan, he takes the blood and he puts it on the animal on the sacrificial altar. But then he takes the other bowl of blood, and there with that blood, he reads off to the people the covenant of God, the agreement that God so graciously made with the people of God who would obey him in this covenant experience, and he sprinkled them with the blood to ratify the covenant that they made with God. So now it was a blood covenant between them and God. It's right there in Exodus 24, 1 through 8. And so again, the whole purpose was for man to live by the law that he agreed to live in the covenant with God. But man did not, and man could not. And that's why he kept offering sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice of blood unto the Lord, repenting and hoping to be restored at one state with God. So all of this comes to play when Jesus talks about the cup. Listen, is the New Testament in my blood? In other words, there's a new agreement. There is a new covenant with better promises that the Lord Jesus Christ has made. He fulfilled the law. Did what we could not do, and that was keep the law. So once he kept the law, he was able to institute a new law. Because the old law was done away with in its fulfillment by the only one who could fulfill it, and that was Jesus Christ. And so he gave to us a new covenant. But remember, it takes blood to enact a new covenant. So he had to shed his own blood now to be the sacrificial lamb to enact this new covenant with us on behalf of God so that we could be brought back into a right relationship with God. And all of that happened only through the precious blood of Jesus. So when we take the cup, it's not just grape juice or wine that we're drinking. Because when we attach the fact that this cup represents, whether it's juice or wine in there, the precious, holy, divine blood of Jesus Christ, we can't play with that because now it has become a sacrament, an element of the communion with God that now becomes holy, representing his blood. So when we drink the juice or the wine, we are drinking his blood, thus fulfilling John chapter 6, what he told us we must do. But this time, there are new promises, new benefits in the new covenant that belongs to the believer. See, in the Old Testament, the old covenant, all you could do was just live because you kept it right.
Yeah.
Break one, the Bible says you broke them all. But in the New Testament, Jesus paid for all of our sins, past, present, and future sins, with the power of his precious blood. That does not give us a right to sin. But if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, a propitiation for our sins in the person and the blood of Jesus Christ. That means this: if we mess up, get it together right quickly. Don't wallow in our sins. Acknowledge, Lord, I've messed up. I plead the blood of Jesus. Forgive me of my sins and turn, as 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, from your wicked ways. Because he paid for you to remember him. Matter of fact, every time you sin and you acknowledge you sin, you ought to remember Jesus. Remember what he did for you at Calvary. Remember what he did so that we, when we partake of the bread and the wine, it's again a memorial, a remembrance of the fact that if he had not done this for us, in hell, with all of us, whether you committed one sin or a million sins, would we lift our eyes in hell? Somebody ought to say, thank Jesus for the blood. I said, somebody ought to say, thank Jesus. Thank God for the blood. That blood, the only blood that was worthy to pay the price, not just for your sin, but whosoever will. And one of the things I love about this is, my brothers and sisters, I don't care how highfalutin and how holy we think we are, what we need to know is we are nothing outside of the blood of Jesus. All of our righteousness in God's sight is as filthy rags till he see the blood. I don't care if you were a murderer. I don't care if you were kidnapped, a child molester. I don't care if you were a gambler, a whoremonger, or whatever you may have been. When you accept Jesus, confess your sin, and you covered over under the blood, there is nothing the devil in hell can do to you about it, because you've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. And there becomes new management on the inside. Might look like the same on the outside, but there's new management on the inside. And day by day, he begins to cause you to manifest a new walk, a new talk, a new life. Doesn't happen overnight. Even though all that you receive happens immediately, the manifestation doesn't happen immediately. That's why we ought to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You can't grow and do and change till you know. And that doesn't happen overnight. That's why we're to study, to show ourselves. Not somebody else. You're not trying to prove to somebody you know the word and you're holier than thou and you're so religious. I'm reminded of a story I heard. Two friends who used to be out in the world bad, and they hadn't seen each other for years, and they ran into each other, and one trying to impress the other, to a man, I don't do all the stuff. I've been changed, man. I've been changed. I read my word. I pray. The other friend said, man, me too. He said, you too, man? He said, yeah, me too, man. He said, well, I tell you what, I can't help it. I know we used to both like to gamble, so I'm going to make this last bit with you. I bet you can't say the Lord's Prayer. He said, I can't say the Lord's Prayer. He said, well, I'll take you up on that offer. $10, I can say the Lord's Prayer. He said, okay, say it. He said, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. The other friend looked at him and said, he said, man, I didn't know you know it. And went in his pocket and gave him $10. Y'all will catch that on your way home. You're not doing what you do to impress somebody else. You're doing what you do. You're knowing what you know, learning what you learn to be closer to Jesus, to be more like Jesus, to let your light so shine in this world that men will see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. My brothers and my sisters, it was the blood. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein. Sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. I know it was the blood. Somebody not talking to me yet. I said, I know it was the blood. Anybody know it was the blood this morning? That saved you, changed you, made you whiter than snow. I know it wasn't because of me, wasn't because of what I've done, wasn't because of what I said, but oh, his blood. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul thank you, Jesus. I'm through. That's enough. I'm through. You know, sometimes I get tired of celebrating by myself. Because I know I'm not the only one he picked up and turned around. I know I'm not the only one he woke up this morning. I know I'm not the only one. He gave health and strength. I know pain was wrecking my body, but I pressed my way here. I know I'm not the only one, that God looked beyond my faults. I know I'm not the only one, could have gotten in an accident and been killed. I know I'm not the only one who's ever gotten sleepy behind the wheel. I know I'm not the only one who's been in the wrong place at the wrong time. I know I'm not the only one who's been around people I shouldn't have been around. I know I'm not the only one who denied his name. I know I'm not the where's the blood? Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for making me whole. The doors of the church are open. Thank you, Jesus. Sometime when you try to tell others how good he's been to you, sometime I feel like they just don't want to know. What I'm glad about is that what he's done for me, he deserves all my praise, all my glory, all my honor. He's worthy. And my brothers and sisters, I've got to remember him every time I come to the table. I think about how he's taken the pain, the sorrow, replaced it with joy unspeakable. I'm grateful to God, and so should each and every one of us be. Don't ever take the Lord's Supper in vain. Because the truth of the matter is, it's a reminder that what he did once, he only had to do it once. Don't care how far I miss it, I fall, all I have to do is, in true and humble submission, repent and turn away. And he's there to receive me. He's there to let me know how things work with him. He saw every sin I would commit, you would commit, from the moment you were born until you are placed in a grave.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
KAYT, Shreveport Greenwood, 92.5.
James Brodnick's Ministries presents the Master Key Program for disciplining your mind for good health, success, prosperity, and blessings. Apostle Brodnick's will teach you biblical principles and proven techniques right out of the Word of God that will establish you into abundant living. The Bible tells us that God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This ministry is designed to help you perfect your faith. Now, here is your host, Apostle Brodnick's. James Brodnick's Ministries presents the Master Key Program for disciplining your mind for good health,